Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is a special AFL trade period podcast. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, it's been a few. It was actually a pretty decent week. I mean, technically it's a fortnight because we...
It's been a little while. Yeah, a week and a half-ish.
Yeah, a bit of a break. But for me, it's the start of the NBA season. We finished with the preseason NBA stuff where they decide to go out and play against NBL players and give them a fair fucking hiding.
Yeah, they send their B team and win by 50.
Yeah, I do love that Sportsbet still takes bets on it.
Wow.
Pays $1. That is the most sure thing in the fucking world. That bus could roll over from the airport to the ground and their support team would still beat the NBL players.
Yeah, it pretty much did happen.
Yeah, that was the support team.
Ben Simmons ran out onto the field, onto the court for a little bit just to shake hands.
And- yep.
Reintroduce himself.
But that was the highlight for me, Ben Simmons. You know, he's only, what, a second-year player?
Yeah.
Technically. Well,
technically third.
Just missed out on a triple-double in a losing match against the Celtics for the 76ers. He got 19 points, 8 rebounds, no, 8 assists and 15 rebounds, which is pretty decent for a guard.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
A big lad.
But, yeah, he's come along beautifully.
Yeah, good way to kick off his season.
Yeah, I mean, North Melbourne offered him $1 million a year contract, and he said no. But you know, you got to keep asking these questions, don't you?
You got to keep asking.
Did he grow up with someone in Sydney who's playing now?
Was it Petrarca?
Yeah, I think it was Petrarca. Yeah, Petrarca must have sucked at basketball.
Well, apparently he was pretty good at footy too, but you know, growing to be 6'10" and whatever.
If you had a choice between NBA and AFL, I think I'd take NBA money.
Yeah, 6'10" and highly mobile. He's good at everything.
Yeah,
exactly. The limbo is the only thing he's shit at.
I'd still back him. Brenton, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, it was a big fortnight of MMA fights. We'll brush over the Conor one, like that was happened or whatever.
But I think everything's been said.
Yeah, I was more interested in the Bellator heavyweight tournament that was on. It was the semi-final, or as we would call it, prelim, whatever it was.
Yeah,
so you had Ryan Bader versus Matt Mitrione. Mitrione was the only true heavyweight in that bracket. Bader just smashed him, ground and pounded him, took him down. Did what he did.
Mitrione did well to get to the end, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was funny that Mitrione saying, I mean, if me and Fedor don't make the final, then it's really a big blight on the heavyweight division of Bellator.
Yeah, but,
well,
fair enough.
Yep, it is. And even Shea was like, well, yeah, you're right, but he's still probably not going to win. but it was funny going into the Fedor fight, Fedor versus Chael Sonnen, which was the next day. And everyone was talking about, you know, Chael versus... Bader for the final. That's going to be an interesting matchup. And I'm like, has everyone just overlooked Fedor? Yeah. Like, Fedor has got to be the favorite for this fight for sure. I mean, Chael is a middleweight.
A good middleweight.
Yeah, yeah. But fighting at light heavyweight. Light heavyweight for Bellator.
And against one of the best heavyweights of all time.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly.
His day was a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was so far above everyone else that he's still more than capable of handling someone who comes in a lot lighter. Even if he is on the juice now,
it's not like Fedor's talent was built on athleticism either. You know?
No. It was just knock motherfuckers out and good sambo and judo, which he showed.
And survive his family.
Well, exactly. Yeah, and probably close ties to Putin. But it was interesting to see Chael just repeatedly go for takedowns that got reversed. And it was some really good judo action in there from Fedor to reverse takedown attempts into throws and get top position. And
well, it only went one round, didn't it?
Yeah. It's an exciting round, though. Like, really good to see.
But there was an interesting move that Sonnen did, though. He was trying to get the hooks in because Fedor turtled up.
Yeah.
And he tried to do the seatbelt rollover, where you, instead of crucifixing, you roll on top of them.
Yep.
And then he just lost his grip. So he just sort of rolled on his back. Fedor's gone, fucking sweet.
Thanks for that.
Well, he was saying that he was going to lose that position anyway because he was too high up, and so he went for it and didn't work out. But he also got, you know, smacked in the head a fair few times before that one. But it was interesting for the post-fight press conference where he's talking. And if you ever heard Chael talk after fight, he's very professional and analytical and almost objective about his fights.
That's the most honest he is.
The selling's been done.
Those moments after fight. It's like a bloke after sex.
Yeah, and he's saying that, you know, I was on the ground and the ref was telling me, you know, you've got to move, otherwise I'm going to stop the fight. And I was like, I just didn't think he was going to stop the fight because, you know, I had my hands up. It was mainly hitting my hands. And I thought, you know, he's slowing down. He's getting tired. And turns out that wasn't a good strategy.
No, it's hard to rope it out when you're on the ground. Yeah.
He's like, those punches hurt.
It's like, if you do nothing, I'll stop the fight. He's like, you promise?
Yeah. And on one of the... Because he actually went on the panel because he does a show with Ariel Helwani on ESPN, who were hosting... they think they split with Showtime or something like that for Bellator. I was on Paramount, actually, but they had him and the bad guy on. So he went straight from the fight, did his post-fight presser, onto the his usual panel show. But
he's a hard worker.
Yeah. He was saying the same thing that he said in the post-fight press conference as they were showing replays on his monitor. And he's like, yeah, now that I look at it, I'm not really moving at all, actually. In my head.
Yep. Yeah. Good call. Yeah.
And all fighters like that. Oh, I almost had him. Like, mate, no, you fucking didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. My highlight of the week, during the week, going for lunch up near Marvel Stadium, just grabbing some dumplings. Obviously, one of the dumpling restaurants up there.
I do like the new signage. I
thought it was going to be Juggies.
Sadly, I don't think Juggies is even ever open. I think it's just a scam.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it open. But anyway, you know how it's kind of a running joke or, I don't know, stereotype that people from Chinese backgrounds will wear English shirts or hats that they don't have a clue what it says on them?
Yeah.
The guy cooking the dumplings was wearing a Gotham City House of Sin hat.
Right.
So, one, brothels make merchandise. Two, somebody buys and wears the brothel merchandise.
Wow.
How did you know it wasn't Batman?
I'm pretty sure the House of Sin gave it away.
Yep. It was funny because Gotham City was just where the casino workers park.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny where you'd be going, obviously at 4 to 6 a.m. is when the shift change happens. And so there'd be people walking out of Gotham City and then there's like, you know, 1,000 shift workers changing. They're like, oh, shit. So we're just trying to scurry up to Clarendon Street.
I can imagine there'd be a few problem gamblers would be like, no, honey, I was going to the brothel.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. That was the one, for those listening to our gambling podcast, where when Crown first opened up, their training center was on City Road there. It wasn't actually in Crown Center. And they'd take the fake training chips from Crown College and take them into the brothel and spend them there.
Yeah.
It took like a couple of weeks before the working girls went to cash them into the cage in the casino, and they were like, these aren't real chips. And apparently one of the higher class brothels in Melbourne as well, so they would not have been happy with how much free services they gave away.
I can imagine, too, that the trainee dealers were making full use of it.
I'll tell you what, though, that would have been awesome up until it wasn't.
Yeah. The first person who went in there got
after caught. They found out, that person would have been in for a big night. All right, so what we thought we'd do, since it's about 5 minutes since the trade period officially closed, we'll go through trade by trade and say what we think about them. And I'm going to absolutely gloss over the picks for picks trades because they're not that interesting.
Yep.
And obviously, this includes a bit of free agency as well. So we'll start from the bottom with Rhys Conker going over to Frio as an unrestricted free agent, which means Richmond couldn't match it.
Couldn't be asked.
And they got pick 37 as a compo pick. I think this is one of those win-wins because Conker, unfortunately, was not best 22.
No, I mean, he just wasn't fit enough for a whole season to be able to make 22. He had moments where he was awesome and moments where his decision-making was fucking terrible.
He was the one that smashed his ankle, wasn't he?
Yep, many times.
But he's one of those ones where he's not quite fast enough, not quite quick enough by hand. He's an above-average player, but doesn't really excel in everything.
I think at his best, he's going to be the 19th best player
on
the Tigers. Unfortunately, the Tigers' injury list never gave him a chance.
And great club, man. Everyone, you know, loved having him around. So it's one of those things that you're glad you had him in his team. Yeah, it's kind of sad to see him go, but you wish him all the best kind of deal.
Well, I can't have loved him too much. Send him to fucking Fremantle.
Well, I mean,
it's his choice. Yeah. That's what you want to do.
We'll hug it out, as we did many times with the Conker Cuddle.
But just imagine that, like, you know, they come in and say, Reese, mate, think it's time we move you on. He's like, oh, okay, boss. Where am I going?
No, this is he's a free agent, so he made the choice.
Yeah,
it's his call.
Yeah, dumb cunt. Yeah.
Well, he'd rather play there than VFL. I guess that's his thinking.
Would there you are though? A few targets.
Would you?
No, I don't mind VFL.
Yeah. It depends on the medical facilities because he's probably going to need them.
Yeah, they're not good over there. All right, the second unrestricted free agent was Luke Dalhouse. And this one was flagged by about round 20, I reckon.
Yeah.
They said he'll get off. The Bulldogs got pick 25, which is probably fair enough for them as well.
Yeah.
I think it's good for both teams, actually.
I mean, I just don't know why Geelong are trying to collect midfielders or running fielders. Like they're actually playing real-life super coach, you know, and they're just going for points.
Yeah. I reckon if you're allowed to field 40... Geelong would do all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't like the youngins. They love trading for...
They've brought in all these midfielders, and yet they're still playing Gary Ablett in the midfield when they should be playing in forward.
Who would have thought?
I mean, it's almost like the halftime games where these kids just run around the ball. There's no positions. It's just free-for-all.
It's odds kick.
I know there will be next year.
Ooh. It's probably what's happened. You know, you've watched a bit of odds kick and go, you know what, there's something in that.
Yeah. Or maybe they're just implementing a strict breeding program where they're just getting good stock midfielders, try and get father-son. Do they have an AFLW team?
Playing on a 2050 premiership, you reckon?
Start pairing up AFLW teams with the...
I think their AFLW starts this year.
Yep.
Are they the ones?
Yeah, we tried to do that, but we pulled Moana Hope, and apparently we didn't figure the problem there.
Well,
Where there's a will, there's a way. Nature finds a way.
Will Walker's only playing the twos, though, and I don't think he's Moana Hope's type.
And with Dalhouse, I mean, it might have been a little bit of insurance for if they lost Tim Kelly, but they didn't, they just get another one. Anyway, that's the way Geelong likes to do it. Okay, the first actual trade was Lincoln McCarthy, from Geelong, going up to Brisbane. This one was also flagged, I think, during the finals because Lincoln McCarthy is very good mates with Lachie Neal.
Right.
And they said that that might be part of the sweetener.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a pick swap going on with that. So he basically went up there for nothing.
Yep. And it was a bit of a gamble because the Lachie Neal trade only got finished this afternoon, right?
Yeah. It got finished very late. But again, Lincoln McCartney, who's been in and out of the Geelong side, goes up there for a little bit more game time, you'd reckon.
Yeah. Just get a run around, a bit of a fresh environment to be able to flourish in.
Yeah. On to, what are we up to? Trade number two, the actual trades. Corey Ellis, Anthony Miles going up to the Gold Coast for some pick swaps. Pretty much the same as Reece Conker. It's just blokes that are spending most of their time in the VFL looking for more game time. And going to Gold Coast, you're going to be best 22.
Yeah, you're probably in the leadership group already.
He might be captain.
Yeah. Actually, he's probably got his name in the hat. Yeah.
It means you're going out next year.
Yeah. But, Miles played good in VFL, like one of our best players in the VFL, but every time he got a chance in the A's, he just wasn't...
Did he play a game this year?
No, not sure. I think he might have played one. Oh, no. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, if he did, it was only one or two.
I don't actually, not much, but quality player. I don't know if it was stage fright or maybe our game plan didn't suit him. Actually, no, our game plan is right up his alley. He just didn't perform.
I think just others went ahead of him. Although he might have won Richmond's VFL Best and Fairest. I got a feeling.
Yeah, I think Lloyd might have won that, actually. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he won it last year.
There you go.
This year, I think Sam Lloyd might have.
And for a team that I think they finished on top, Richmond in the VFL.
I think they did.
Minor premiers.
Yeah.
So certainly enough talent there. But
he missed the goal after the siren to get us into the final, grand final, right?
I can't. No,
it was from like about 55.
No, that was the grand final last year. That was.
That's right.
Not Leonard. What was his name? Lennon.
No, it was Ben Lennon.
Ben Lennon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I think it's a good pickup for Gold Coast. I mean, you get two players in Ellis and Miles, decent players.
We're going to play for
them. Yeah. Not quite premiership level players, but they're close enough that, well, they're much closer than Gold Coast in the current crop. Yeah. Now they've lost their alpha team.
And coming from a team, like, it's almost with the coaching, you try and pull from the culture of the coaching staff that Clarkson had, and that's what sort of bred success to other clubs.
Yep.
And you almost have to pull the players from successful clubs to start a culture in a new team that's going to actually flourish and get in the right path, especially picks that Gold Coast is going
to
get.
It will help Stewie do too, knowing that two players will turn up to the first training session.
Yeah. Well, I mean, coaches don't rock up to half their training session. So.
The last ones, yeah. It is. It's blokes that will be hungry and will want to play. And you know they've already got a professional attitude.
Yeah.
And which is really what they need. Because Gold Coast know what they're doing this year. You know, or sorry, next year. They're just really playing for... they're going to get the number one draft pick.
Well, they have started again. This is like a wipe the slate, clean, and obviously Jew's got good credentials as a coach. So
yeah, they're trying to build. It's not a rebuild. It's just a build.
Yeah,
yeah. In trade number three, this was one of the first ones of the State League, how do you call it, assistance packages for Carlton and Gold Coast, which I like. I think that's it's a really great idea. So Carlton traded the rights to Nathan Kruger onto Geelong.
Yep.
Again, you know, obviously a good State League player, but we'll see what he does in the big time now.
Yeah.
I don't know much else about him.
I know nothing about him.
No.
His old man Freddie's a bit of a cunt.
Yeah. And then free agent Tom Lynch finally getting to the Tigers.
Yeah.
Which gives Gold Coast the number three pick as compo. They were never going to match the bid, obviously.
No.
They wanted that compo
bid. Yeah, yeah. And obviously it's one that just was gifted to the Tigers. I don't think we did too much chasing for it. It was just that's where we wanted to go.
No, that's where we wanted to go.
And some mates there. So
by all accounts, paying way unders for him as well. But well, 7 years?
I think so, yeah. Was that 800K a year or something like that?
I think that was...
Like as a,
that's what he was.
Average,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think he was on even more than that at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, he was on $1 million a year at Gold Coast, I'm pretty certain. But he was good mates with Prestia and Caddy. So I think that was the... And also success.
Yeah. Yeah, let's start with that one. Prestia and Caddy have something that he doesn't have.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was obviously a few clubs were in for Lynch. And some paying significantly overs what Richmond are offering, but he's made his call, and that makes that forward line very, very dangerous.
Yeah, it does, and I like how he said that he wants to learn from a forward like Jack just to improve his game as well. So he's come there not as, a star has been tutored in the media as a student of learning how to improve his own game, which is very handy.
Publicly, Jack's going to be coming out saying, "Oh, it's great. We're going to have a talented forward line. I'm going to be loving it."
Yeah.
But privately, he's going to be like, "Motherfuck."
Well, he's going to be hard. Won the Jack Dyer medal. So, not Jack Dyer.
John Coleman.
No, he won that as well. Yeah. But our best and fairest. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Jack Dyer medal?
Yeah.
Jack Dyer medal. Yeah. He won that. So, I mean, he's got a bit of confidence under his wing. And,
well, Damien Hardwick said he doesn't want Jack Riewoldt winning the Coleman medal anymore. And I think if you get Tom Lynch in, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting, though, because, his Hardwick's plan B is send Dusty to the goal square, isolate.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting how that works when you've got two key forwards.
Yeah.
You're going to sit up at centre forward.
I think just allows us a few other options with matching up against teams. And
big
forcing,
marking option.
Yeah. Forcing them to have to play a different defensive game, which is like our small man game, which got exposed against Collingwood, pretty hardcore. Add another big man in there who's pretty agile and knows what he's doing. It just allows a few different strategies for playing against teams like Collingwood.
He's a massive get, obviously. Yeah. And he still kicked a bag of eight this year, remember? So even though he set out the last half of the year, we know what Gold Coast injuries are like. You get a little bit injured up there and you couldn't be fucked playing anyway.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Don't read too much into that. Free agency, Scott Lysett got over to Port Adelaide. That was a funny one at the time.
It was, yeah.
It sounded like he said, "I'm going," and then had second thoughts and too late.
Yeah, there was a bit of that in West Coast.
I think as a good pickup for Port Adelaide, obviously back up for Paddy Ryder. Because Paddy Ryder, he'd be nudging 30 if he's not already very soon.
Yep.
But also that Achilles doesn't seem to be going away. So it's running the two ruck setup, and also, he can run on his solo for the weeks that Paddy sits out.
Yeah, he never really leaned on Paddy to play a full season. So
you
really need that option for Port, and they didn't have a whole lot. Most of their tall people they sent forward, and they were doing good until they're doing shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually quite like Lysett. I think he does quite well.
He's handy.
Yeah.
He's handy. He's not going to win any best of fairest or anything like that, but especially in the grand final, he had a good game and did his job.
Yep.
Him and Vardy against Grundy. So,
but with that, having a second ruckman, I actually think that that's going to be more important next year with the whole take it out of the ruck aspect.
Yep.
Because it's been for a while that you needed ruckmen with endurance and they could run all day and whatnot. But now that you're allowed to muscle in the ruck and you're allowed to grab it and go, you're going to have ruckmen who are going to do the don't argues.
Yep.
And that's going to be a vital method of getting a clearance.
Well, and they're going to try and, dish the ball out more accurately rather than a tap to space and that kind of stuff.
Do they have to land before you tackle them? Or as soon as they grab the ball, you can tackle them?
As soon as they grab it, you can tackle them.
Yeah, I'm going to say go for your life.
If you take possession,
I was going to say the real loser of this one is Sean Grigg, but now that's a game changer because he's just not even going to go off the ruck. He's going to grab it and just
tackle straight away.
Yeah.
As far as I know, it's like a marking contest. If you have possession, they can grab you.
Yep. Yeah. Lots of injuries I'm predicting in the ruck for opposition teams.
Well, that's how Sean Grigg's got to adapt his game.
Yeah, we're going to worry about a ruck full stop. He's just going to, you either tap it, motherfucker, or I'm taking you out.
All right, there's a couple of trades there that were just swaps of picks. I don't care. We all know that people are getting higher picks.
There's only really two pick swaps that I care about. One was the number six.
Yeah.
And the other one was why Richmond and Adelaide had to trade, had to get Adelaide to trade their 76 for 68 so they could get Stengel.
An extra 100 points. It's all about academy and father-son selection, so it doesn't really interest me at this stage. Mitch McGovern finally got over to Carlton, which is amazing because, one, he signed a three-year contract last year, but the whispers are they told him there was no more money, except if your name's Bryce Gibbs, then there is. So he thought, fuck you, I want to go to Carlton.
I've heard this club has heaps of money, and it's not North Melbourne, because I have to declare that.
An investment in his financial future, if not his football future.
Yeah, his portfolio is what it was.
Well, you see, not everyone was impressed by the private jet and caviar, but apparently Mitch McGovern was. Expensive taste, that lad.
He got to watch it from the sidelines, I think. But that was close enough for the lad from the country. I guess he's an interesting addition to Carlton, but he's not the missing piece for him or anything like that.
But he's an improvement.
Improving on fuck all that they had.
I mean, 7 times out of 10, he recognises a football. Yep. So I reckon he's up.
Yeah. And he's in the right age bracket. So he's not going to be, the top three players or anything like that. But as, Cripps and Wiedering and Charlie Curno get better and better, he becomes, somebody you've got to worry about.
Yeah, and especially when those are players become more consistent.
Yeah, if you can stop a team from scoring a fuck ton against you, that's also handy.
Yeah.
On to the first time that North Melbourne get busy in the trade period.
I just want to go back to trade 5. One of the things that Adelaide got out of that trade was access to Shane McAdam.
Yes.
Young lad, just based solely on his family, his uncles Gilbert and Adrian.
All right.
It could be another Rioli. Because Gilbert McAdam... spectacular player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think he even played his best footy in the Sandful, though.
Yeah. Adrian McAdam, too, obviously played for North. Brilliant, but inconsistent.
Yeah.
But that was also kind of a lot of the Aboriginal players at that time were, because the teams didn't really know how to support them.
The support networks, everybody said, were shit out.
Yeah, terrible. It was like, come on, lad, just go and play footy. And they're like, my whole culture, my whole family's left behind. Yeah. What the fuck? And they're like, nah, shut the fuck up, play footy.
I got a feeling money. Gilbert McAdam was playing for St Kilda the day that Nicky Wimmer had his big stand.
Oh, right.
I got a feeling that Gilbert McAdam was in the Saints that game as well. Yep. So, yeah, you saw a bit of it.
But they can both fucking play.
Yeah, of course they can. He's a great commentator too, Gilbert.
I really rate him, and because he doesn't pretend to be the smartest bloke in the field, he's like, hey, boys, he's having a good game, isn't he? Look at him go.
A little bit.
He's like that mate in the bleacher.
Absolutely is.
I love that. I think too often commentators want to be experts. Yeah. They don't want to be fans.
Yeah.
And I think there's a place to have a fan commentator.
Not every week.
No. But we need him and Jake King to do like a game companion.
Oh, yeah, I'd press red for that.
Fucking oath. If you're listening to, I don't know, fucking BT, talk to Das, talk to Lingy, and you're like, jeez, I'm fucking sick of this shit. Press red for, I don't know, Gilbert and Sullivan.
Gilbert and the King.
I'd be on board with that because you've got to be fucking bored eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, half of it's going to be Jackie King throwing down a few pies, but
bug it. The last half he'll be hammered, so I'll get way more interesting. It was a boring game.
I can beat that cunt.
Yeah. I can actually see...
Here's a story about him.
I could see Jake and Gilbert McAdam having a fight at like quarter time, beating the shit out of each other, and by three-quarter time, making up and being best mates again.
Yeah. I like to see it. So North Melbourne set their sights on Jared Polak way early in the season.
Yep.
They finally landed him with Jasper Pittard as the steak knives.
Yeah, destination club.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, they've probably paid overs for Jared Polak.
Yeah.
But they got him.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
And like North Melbourne really subscribed to that theory of, you know, if you ask 10 girls out, only one's going to say yes. But if you ask 100 out, you're going to get 10 that say yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say two yeses are better than one.
Yeah.
And that's why I like that they've thrown out these big offers, you know. And it keeps coming back that they tried to get Dusty and it didn't work. They tried to get Kelly and it didn't work yet. They tried to get Gaffer and it didn't work. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They won't die wondering. Because there's plenty of other clubs that asked as well.
Well, literally every player North missed out on, St Kilda did too.
And more.
Yeah.
And more.
And he's just sowing those seeds as well, you know what I mean? Because they've still got some money and there's still a few players that were trying to get traded with still a year left on the contract.
Yeah.
And so once their contracts have done, they're like, well, I can go to North. And especially you got this sort of NBA effect where mates start talking to each other and be like, how about if we just team up at this place? We get paid fat cash.
Yeah.
We go back to Melbourne or, you know, we're in the same team. Actually start to build something. So a lot of different strategies that North Melbourne can...
I believe they call that the Gold Coast launch strategy.
But obviously, missing out on Gaff is the big one. But that was the weirdest way everything folded out with that.
Well,
I remember speaking to you about it and saying, look, surely... Because they released saying he's going to sign. Yeah. I'm like, well, he's had the contract for months. Just
why hasn't he?
Sign.
Well, it's quite clear why he hadn't. And, you know, there was all speculation about, his missus has quit her job and blah, blah, blah. But he clearly hadn't made up his mind until he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was the weirdest way it all played out.
It was. And because it took so long, and obviously I think now it's obvious Gaff just was undecided. And he probably made up his mind 10 different times. But then you get all the speculation. Nah, I'll go with the inside word. It's definitely happening today.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't. And then it didn't. And then it didn't again.
Yep.
But it was just, I think, you know, it's a lad that had a lot of time to think about a decision and used up every bloody minute of it.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm surprised Mrs. had a job. So, you know, if he's getting these offers, you'd be like, fuck this, I am quitting.
But anyway, he's staying back at West Coast.
Yeah.
But with the Pollocks, in addition to the club, he upgrades the whole team.
They let go Billy Hartung. And you'd say that he plays a similar role, but he is double the player that Billy Hartung is.
Yeah,
And Pittard, too. He's been pretty ordinary the last couple of years, but most of the players North have brought in have actually played better than their previous club, so I'm going to be on board with it.
He's not better than Billy Hartung. I think I'd rather Billy Hartung than than Pittard.
They've got rid of all their whipping boys, so it's always good to get one back in. Makes everyone else look better.
That is very, very
it's about
true.
You focus everyone's anger on one player, and it gives everyone else a bit of respite.
Yeah, they try to throw John Butcher in there, and we're just like, hold the fuck up.
We know this one. He quit a little while ago, didn't he? I'm not saying we're not interested. We just
well, the story I actually heard from the inside word was that
yeah, of course,
when they signed Benny Jacobs, Delano was saying, all right, we need a JP to sign off on this, and Cam Joyce is like, what, you need a JP? Like, right, we'll get our list manager onto it. So he goes and says, well, we tried to get JP last 2 years back and he wouldn't come. Well, let's get two then. Just get him in. And so they turn up with Jared Polek and Jasper Pittard and they're like, right, we've got our JPs. Let's sign them on. He's like, all right, well, while you're here, may as well.
Okay. It was good. It's good, that one.
That was Sam McClure, wasn't it?
I'm happy with it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good. So anyway, it adds a little bit of pace to North.
But, and the good thing was that Pollock doesn't come with, you know, sort of some, I've got moved out of my old club. Like, he actually had some disdain for Port for not coming to the table and trying to up his price.
Well, he kind of was a bit reluctant. He's like, oh, you know, I'm missing the lads. It's going to be tough. And then they're just like, Port came out with
fuck ton
him.
Of money.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, actually, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
But Port did him the right thing. They went, mate, That's a fuck ton of money.
Yeah.
You go. Yep. You take it. We're not getting close to it. You take it.
I think it's Pollock's like, can you a little bit more?
No.
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 No. Yes. Oh, I'm leaving. And I'm taking Jasper with me.
It's good.
Like, please.
Win-win.
They're thrown in the Scots transport box.
Yeah, well, our VFL team's going to like that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Port would have wanted to keep Pollock, but not at that price, obviously.
Yeah.
Trade number 7, Gary Rowan goes down to Geelong for, you know, a bugger all pick. Bit of injury, but obviously everyone knows what's been going on with his family, and he's from that way. So I think the Swans were just, mate, whatever you want.
I don't think that was a gentleman's agreement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's best 22 there.
Oh, if he's right.
Geelong,
if he gets his injuries right, he probably is.
If he can learn to play on, like, the back flank, then, I mean, you're in.
Well, he's got speed to burn, you know? But you just got to keep himself on the park. But we'll see. You know, once he's back home and in familiar environment and with surrounded by family, with the little toddler running around and the rest of it, he'll probably
knocking about
life.
With young Dangerfields and a few other little fellas. I think Ablett's got a little one on the way too.
Little Ablett on the way.
It's going to be some good fucking country footy being played in those leagues. Jesus Christ.
How would you be rocking up to Ozzy? School footy under 10s. It's fucking Ablett, Rowan, Hawkins. Oh, cunts.
It's like, though, the second generation footy players are funny sometimes. Like, oh, you know, I don't want to play off my dad's fame. It's like, yeah, you fucking do. Like, let's be honest. You wanted the coach to go, all right, you're the young Ablett. Yeah, you're first team.
Yeah.
It's like LeBron James Jr.
I was just going to say.
No, I don't want to wear my old man's number. Because, I want to want my own name. It's like, because when they call out LeBron James Jr., it's like, hey, who's this guy?
You never heard of him. Trade number 8 we're up to already. Ryan Clark goes up to Sydney from North, again, for a bugger all pick.
Yep.
I'm not going to say I like Ryan Clark, because he's the cause of me yelling at the TV so fucking often. He's one of those players that gets a decent amount of ball and earns it. But then he just fucking murders the kick.
He's a little bit undersized too, isn't he? Like weight-wise?
Yeah. Well, he's a young lad. It's only his first year.
Oh, is it really? I thought he was a couple of years in.
He's a premier.
Yeah. But he's 1 year, second year in the system. First year, played 18 games kind of thing. But he gets so much of the footy.
It's a good start.
It is, but you'd still need to do something with it. And even you get guys like Abasha Hulia and Johannesson, when they have bad games, they get the footy and then just kick fucking long. Clark just kicks poorly. So he'll pick out players on the opposition and then hit them right in the fucking face. And so frustrating. But he cost us about 3 goals in one game, like from direct turnovers. So running through the middle, turns it over, comes right back over his head, goal.
Yeah, I reckon I was at that game. I think I remember it. Now that I think
it's just one of those ones you're like, mate, what the fuck? But if he goes to Sydney and they can get him right, he is a massive get for them.
Well, that's it. Like you say, he's only young then, so he's got a fair bit of development left in him.
And the good thing is, if he fucks up, none of the supporters know his name anyway. No. So like, that guy sucks. Next week, they forget.
Yeah, because they wouldn't know him walking down the street, that's for sure. Trade number 9, West Coast pick up Tom Hickey with some swaps of picks. So obviously they lost Lysette. They got to pick up another ruckman. Yep. Obviously a downgrade in ruckman, Lysette to Hickey, but Hickey's still, what's he, 3 or 4 years into the system? 5 years maybe?
Serviceable guy, though. I thought he's played very well for what was it? There wasn't much expected of him.
I expect a bit of him.
There was, but Saints had a bit of a hoarding of potential ruckmen that they got, and none of them really came through. And Hickey was sort of almost like the last one they expected, but he was one that was the most serviceable, especially against good competition. So I was surprised the Saints let him go. I don't know what their backup plan is.
Well, I mean, the Saints have got Billy Longer, who I think was their preference, but they've also got a young lad who had his first year this year, and I've lost his name right now. God, it wasn't Hunter. Had a few games, you're like, oh, yeah, there's potential there.
Yep.
So he's probably still 1 or 2 years off it, but so are the Saints.
Exactly, Saints are looking to, do something. They're in a bit of no man's land. So obviously they sort of fought off a rebuild for a while, realised that was, it was just the wrong decision, and now they've been forced to.
Yeah.
So, it's a good pickup for West Coast, but,
they just needed another ruckman.
Yeah.
Well, they've still got Vardy.
And Nick Nat will come back, probably close to the start of the year or somewhere.
Yeah.
So he is, he's depth. They got him for depth, and that's what it'll be.
Yeah.
Next, Alex Fasolo joins Carlton. I can't believe that Collingwood got pick 57 for him as compensation. But
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if Fasolo will do much with Carlton, but he's just depth.
I think he just might be a mole. He's just looking for some Carlton info, Collingwood info.
Well, Dale Thomas worked well for him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was the package. He was the spite deal from Malthouse, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't mind the pickup because Fasolo, he's a skilled player sometimes, but yeah. He's also a bit of a dirty player.
Is he?
And I don't mind that for Carlton because it seems so often that they don't care enough to be dirty. Because you're only dirty when you're competitive or you're a complete cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
So someone who's willing to, break the rules in order to get the ball, I think they need.
Well, they've got Jed Lamb. He's very good at that. So, maybe that is something that Jed Lamb can get under Fasolo's wing.
Yeah.
And learn a few tricks of the trades from a vet.
Yeah, learn the sneakies.
That's it. Let's see. Next, we've got a bunch of pick swaps, so we're not going to worry about that. And Dan Henenbury gone down to Sydney.
From Sydney.
From Sydney down to Saints.
There's been so many rumours about this shit. Apparently, he's actually the Unabomber, I heard. Yeah, according to...
Dan McVeigh.
Yeah. That was the Oklahoma Bomber, but
Timothy McVeigh.
Timothy McVeigh, yeah.
Yeah, but so... It's weird, really.
Ted Kaczynski.
Kaczynski, that's right.
Because I know it from Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah,
So you're saying Dan Henenbury.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because he's one of those guys that was touted to be everything.
And he was. I reckon he's been... Yeah. I still reckon he was robbed of a Norm Smith in 2012.
Yeah, I could say that. But he's an upgrade for St Kilda. Again, a bloke who can play.
Yeah.
And who's been to the big dance.
But also, injuries has marred his last couple of years.
Yeah.
And some off-field stuff too.
I think Saints were missing that sort of leadership role around the ground. Like, there are too many people who wanted to be forward-line players and they had to teach them to be midfielders and they sucked at it.
I think it's also, they got rid of Riewoldt and Montagna in the 1 year.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a little bit of that leadership back, but he's 20, is he 27, 28?
Something like that.
So it's,
I think he's great leadership for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that's all he is, because he's not going to be a Brownlow fancy for him or anything like that. And I think it's also a great move by the Swans, because they were paying top dollar for Dan Henenbury, and they weren't getting top dollar service.
No, yeah, yeah.
So they relieve a little bit of cap space, but also it's an extra position in the midfield for Heaney, Mills, and bald-headed prick, Jones, to run through and spend more midfield time as well.
But also with that, who's a St Kilda captain, Brett? No fucking clue.
Jack
Geary, it is.
Exactly. So you don't say, "Oh fuck, he's shown good leadership." You're like, "Oh
no,
who the fuck's that?" But if you have Henenbury there, he's not going to be captain first year because they're not that fucking.
But he's going to be on-field captain.
He's going to be the on-field captain, and you don't want to give it to someone like Jack Stevens because he's not ready for that.
And anyone with that haircut, you're like, let's just not follow him. Let's just be the wild man.
By the way, Jack Stevens is older than you think. He's like 28 or 29 or something.
No shit.
I thought he's a perpetual 22-year-old, you know?
Yeah, well, it looks like his parents live in a trailer and, his cousin cooks meth or something.
Definitely.
Lindsay Thomas.
I got a feeling Henenbury would be the only one on the St Kilda list with a premiership medal too.
Probably. Well, it was funny because remember...
he's hardly fucking alone there.
Yeah.
We were watching last year the Saints.
He literally is alone there. That's what I mean.
The whole St Kilda history, there's not that many players with fucking medallions.
But last year when we'd watched the Saints, because obviously we watched a lot of different random games, and you see the problems with just working out some sort of backline structure where they could get the ball moving forward. And you see the frustration with Tanya having to go back and actually present himself as an option for the person to kick out of... out of the goal square too.
Yeah.
And you see he's pissed off for having to do that because then he looks up and there's no one there to be able to have run for.
Year before last, that one. Yeah. It didn't change this year.
See, I can probably say I've got a solution to this problem because I've got a microphone in front of me, which means that I can just make shit up. but to me, it always seemed that the on-field leadership was so lacking that players were trying to impact the game without trying to represent the team. Like, the team
I'll get my kick.
Yeah. Not just I'll get my kick. Like, someone's got to do something. All right, I'll do something.
Yeah.
But you've got eight players trying to do something individual rather than eight players trying to do a link-up play.
Yeah.
And also, just give, get, give. How fucking rare was that for St Kilda?
Yeah, yeah. And especially just using the actual oval as it should be used, yeah, like through the middle and making space, but too many sideline kicks. But also, I think they were coming from an era where they had so many on-field leaders.
Yeah.
Mm. And so once that's sort of transitioning, you've got people coming through that it's almost disrespectful to go over the top of someone that's traditionally your on-field leader and sort of establish yourself in that team. Well, it seemed like anyway.
Well, that's a big thing about the great teams. Always, you're always going to be down at some stage.
Yeah.
But the good teams, you'll have a leader who comes in, like a Nick Riewoldt in, yep, that side, or, yeah, you know, a Luke Hodge or whoever, says, lads, don't fucking worry, we got this.
Yeah, well, everyone should be open to criticism as well.
Yep.
I think that's one thing that Essendon have done good, where you can tell Brendan Goddard to go fuck himself.
Yeah. All right. St Kilda picked up Dean Kent from Melbourne. Kent, okay player, but I mean...
I don't mind him.
Spent most of his time in VFL this year as well. So he probably walks into St Kilda's best 22, but he wasn't best 22 at Melbourne.
Yeah, that's fair.
So good move for him. And, you know, the Ds obviously didn't give up too much. And St Kilda didn't give up too much for him either. Almost on the same token is North getting Dom Tyson, which really released Braden Pruce to Melbourne. Yeah. So this is a funny one because I'm starting to warm to it now because I can see it from Pruce's idea that Melbourne said, we want to play two rucks.
Yep.
You know, we don't want the McDonald boys or Pettersson.
Yeah.
Not on their list anymore. But we don't want this makeshift second ruckman.
Yep.
We want an actual second ruckman, and we're going to play two rucks. You're going to get a game. So yeah, that's the message they've sold him on.
I think, too, the areas Gorn lacks, Pruce has. So the in-close physicality, the hard tackling, all that sort of stuff, yeah, Pruce does.
Yeah. Acting.
Pruce will fucking kill bastards. But I think that's a net loss for North. I think next year's...
Definitely, I think so.
Next year's rules favour Pruce a lot.
Yep.
And I think Melbourne being able to swap that out, even if he's playing off the bench, which I know that's an old school way to do things, but Pruce doesn't have a gas tank because he's too fucking massive.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing.
Well, yeah, that too. But Maxi Gorn has an excellent gas tank.
Yeah, yeah. So you can have Pruce as a shock trooper, if you like.
Yeah.
So if one of the opposition ruckmen's getting over Gorn and maybe give a bit of a rough up, because Gorn around the ground is highly impactful, you put Pruce on for 5 minutes, tell him, all right, you just belt the shit out of... Rory Lobb or
Grundy, let's say,
Grundy. And by the time you've batted him down a little bit, we'll send Gorney back on. He'll give him a fucking proper touch-up. Yeah,
we send Gorn down to play defence on Mason Cox.
Well, and I think, you know, obviously losing Hogan, it means that they've got another tall target. He might spend some time up forward, but they've got a lot of mobile forwards, so now they've got just one big bastard as well.
Mm.
And Dom Tyson, I think that's just midfield depth. I don't think he's going to solve any issues for North, but
another
option.
I was looking through the squad. I don't see him in the best 22. I think he is a depth player.
Yeah, it just is depth, you know, cover for injuries.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to give him a game ahead of Jacobs, Higgins, Zeeble, Cunnington.
No, and you could probably keep going. There's probably one or two more there as well.
Yeah, and even if I could, I'd probably play LDU or maybe Taron Thomas instead.
But
anyway.
Carlton gets Will Setterfield from GWS.
I really like that.
Carlton just love picking
massive
up...
Massive Will Setterfield fan.
Carlton just love picking up those GWS rejects. You know, it's the ones that everyone else rejects that makes Carlton what they are.
Yep. And it's ones that Carlton reject that makes every other team what they are.
But I actually don't mind that. I think if you're gonna look at Carlton's 2018 season, you'd say a big problem is they leaked the shit out of the goals. Like, they just kept giving away too many. I think if they've dropped Satterfield back, they can start addressing that.
I mean, that's one of their problems, among many.
You solve a problem one at a time in that case, because there's so fucking many. But if you can start to say, all right, lads, we're going to concede less goals.
I think he's the ninth GWS player on Carlton's list as well.
Yeah.
It's not a bad effort.
Yep.
Sam Lloyd got traded over to the Bulldogs for a late pick. Again, just like a bit of all the other Tigers players that left, it's just spent the year in the VFL, played three games and played well.
Played great, yeah. And he's really changed his style as a midfielder, which was what Richmond wanted of him. Mm. And like one of those players, you're sad to see him go because everyone's got a soft spot for Lloyd after he won the game after the siren against the Swans. The
game that I left at three-quarter time, yes.
Yeah, but also a player that you could see, especially through his VFL games and the few that he played in the A's, was that he actually had adjusted his game to be that sort of midfield running player, team player, where he used to be very goal-focused. And that was his job. Just kick a few goals. We're going to get 3 or 4 out of him. Very lazy on defense. But he actually changed that around. So I think it's a massive pickup for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think they definitely got unders for him for pick 64.
Yeah, clearly. But
I think he suits their game plan too.
Yeah.
Because they've lost Dalhouse.
Yep.
But I think Lloyd is probably a little bit quicker.
Yeah,
I think he's probably not as clean.
Well, he's better offensive minded than Dalhouse.
He's a great 40 out from goal. Yeah.
And with his change in even his body structure, like he's slimmed down, got a little bit more toughness, which is giving him a little bit more pace. I think once he's got a good season of AFL exposure, I think these people are going to see what the effort he's put into his game is going to start paying dividends. And I think he could be like a massive steal for Bulldogs and one of the picks of one of the trades of this period.
I think if Richmond had lost a few more games, he would have got a lot more game time.
But it's hard to injuries. Yep. If Richmond had more injuries.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to drop a player when you're winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless they're having an utter shocker.
Yeah. What does this mean for Richmond's depth, though? Because they lost,
lost a lot of depth. Yeah,
Conker, Ellis, Lloyd.
Yep.
There's another one that went to Gold Coast. Miles gone,
yep.
Not best 22, but if there is any injuries.
Yep.
And they've had a good run with injuries the last couple of years, the Tigers, but it could expose them.
We still have a lot of young players that are looking for game time as well. Like, still got Naish. You still got Shai Bolton.
Well, and whoever comes in the draft as well, because the last couple of drafts haven't had much of a look in because the best 22 has been so strong and so resilient.
Aaron Hall gets over to North as well. So I think North had about 5 players targeted, and I think I feel like Gaff was the only one they missed out on.
Gaff, and you could probably argue Newman, but when they picked up Hall and I think Pittard
sort of replaced that, didn't
he? Again, Newman isn't a game breaker by any means, but he's a handy player.
Yeah.
Aaron Hall can be a game breaker, but I think that some people North didn't pay overs by any stretch of the imagination. Just a fourth round selection's. Yeah.
I think that's a bargain.
Yeah. But everyone keeps going on about he was leading the Brownlow Medal 1 year after 3 rounds when he had 9 votes. Yeah, but look at those games who we played against.
Yeah, but I think one thing to his credit, there were a lot of games where pretty much the entire Gold Coast team had given up. He was one of those players that was still actually trying.
At times, but there were plenty of other times.
I think that was a good 4 or 5 games until everyone went, all right, fuck it.
Well, you watch his highlight reel, and I have quite a few times now.
Highlight reel's good.
A lot of it is that running to the forward pocket and kicking over the shoulder like Eddie Betts does.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's one thing North has missed is that ability to snap. So as long as he's willing to run backwards as well, which is one thing that he has not done at Gold Coast, mainly because at Gold Coast you do it so fucking often.
Yeah, you get bored of it pretty quick.
I can understand that. I think that's a massive pickup. And, everyone's excited this time of year because you've got a whole bunch of new players and you think, the ones we got rid of are shit.
Yep.
We got some new ones in.
Fuck
we're going to fix
Brent Harvey guy.
We're fucking in. I think that's a net positive.
I see him as very much in the Higgins mode, running forward, goal kicking midfielder.
Yep.
But you're right, it's the running backwards. He has to improve.
If he's 2/3 of the player Higgins is, I would be fucking stoked.
Trade 17, Scrimshaw goes to Hawthorn for fuck all.
I've rated Scrimshaw since last year because that's when I was aware he was a player.
Yeah,
but I think this is a massive steal. I think it makes a lot more sense having lost Burton.
Yep.
Yeah, but this happened.
I'm pretty sure
this happened first.
Hawthorn went into trade negotiations armed, literally with guns, because some of the deals they got were like fuck.
This wasn't a steal. This is nothing. This is petty theft.
Yeah, still,
grand larceny comes later.
You get a player who gets pick 7, I think he was.
He was.
Pick 6.
But
he's gone.
Yeah.
You'd think a player after a year in the system, granted not a lot of A-grade experience, but a year in the system, a year of AFL preseason, he should be worth more.
Tigers
got fuck over Robin Roberts.
Talent spotting has been a real strong point of Gold Coast. I don't know. We did something very similar a couple of years ago with bloody Jonathan O'Rourke. Who was a former number 2 pick. Yeah. And nothing came of it. Okay, injuries were a problem, but I did a little bit of reading up about him because I could not pick Jack Scrimshaw out of a lineup if I tried before he got traded to the Hawks. And I'm still not that excited because what I read was, you know, Gold Coast loved him. They reckon, you know, beautiful left foot, good size and everything. Lazy as. And just not prepared for an AFL lifestyle. So while Gold Coast picked him up number 7, there were a lot of other clubs that weren't going to use their second or third round picks on him, regardless.
So he's pretty disappointed to leave Gold Coast then.
And grew up barracking for the Hawks. So he's got to turn some things around if he's going
to
get a game.
But I think to a lot of those teams like Gold Coast, they don't have that player who says, don't fuck up my club.
Yeah, well, they do, but they keep bloody leaving.
But again, how, like, if Stephen May comes and says, oi, pull your fucking head in, and you're like, mate, you're leaving. Why care if you don't? Whereas you go to Hawthorn or, you know, a lot of the more established teams, if you're fucking about and, you know, Clarkson says, pull your head in, he wouldn't say it so politely, but you'd soon learn to pull your head in or else you find yourself drowning in the fucking ice bath.
Well, I think they've clearly shown that if Hawthorn, if they want to move you on, they will. It's quite clear the last couple of years. Okay, Trade 18 is just picks. We won't worry about that. Gold Coast received George Holland Smith, the hyphen, from Geelong. I didn't know he was on the table.
This is out of nowhere, this one.
Again, Gold Coast get a player that will be their best 22.
Yep.
And Geelong, I don't know, if did he run out of opportunities down there? But he's the type of player that Geelong would trade in. Trading in.
It's a weird one. I think it makes sense for Gold Coast because they get a player and they're losing pick 59, which they weren't going to use anyway, really, because they've got, what, three in the top 10 or top 20 or whatever it is and another couple more. So if they're using pick 59, then they've fucking wasted something.
Tyson Stengel, again, another... to call him a depth player, I think, is giving him a little bit too much credit at Tykes.
Well, he's still pretty young as well.
Very young.
So... you had plenty of sort of promise in VFL, but never really saw what he was capable of in AFL just because there was someone else who was going to get that position before him. So there were big raps on him saying, you know, he's decent, but unproven. So you can understand why Adelaide are more likely to take a gamble on a player like that, especially for what they paid for it. And... you know, Tigers are like, well, yeah, we can get rid of that. And obviously, pick 68 isn't going to be much.
It's points.
It's when he's on, you know, father, son, or academy player or something like that in next year's draft. So, yeah, it's a bit of a nothing trade. I mean, you lose someone who might have potential, might fizzle out. Going to be a player that's probably better off in Adelaide's list anyway.
I think so, too. Right, we want to talk highway robbery. Tom Scully for a future fourth-round pick, likely to be about pick 60.
My favourite part of this was
Kane Corns.
I don't know what's that was the fucking plot.
Well, all right, talk you through it. Why do you think is Kane Corns so angry about it?
Well, the raw numbers is you've gone from a pick 7 to this. And when he is fit, he's a spectacular player.
What do you mean by pick 7?
He was pick 7. Oh, no, he's pick 1, sorry.
He was number 1 pick. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah. But when he's fit, spectacular player.
Yeah.
When he's fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His ankle is probably pretty damn fucked.
Must be fucked.
Yeah. I think it's fused at this point.
Yeah. Because what I heard, and again, we were all going off speculation here, was Hawthorn were thinking, you know, a pick in the 20s will get this done. Did their medical and went, we'll give you a pick 60.
And they went, yep.
And they went, yep, we'll take that. But so, I think it works for both teams because GWS get something and they'll probably
clear some cap space.
Clear some cap space.
Struggling and with that. They get points that they can probably use on academy players next year.
Well, I think the main, what really got them over the line for the Hawthorn trade was they said, we'll pay his full contract.
And
GWS went, great, done, that's what we want. Which becomes a bit of an issue, like, it's been with the whole trade period. When a player is under contract, says, I've nominated my club.
Yeah.
And then the club's forced to go, okay, well, we'll deal with them.
Yep.
So GWS had no choice, they only could deal with Hawthorn. And Hawthorn were offering up peanuts and they lapped it up.
Yeah.
Well, they can deal with whoever they want, but the player still has to accept it.
Still has to sign off. Yeah. So, yeah, they can't, you know, essentially, because it won't happen. Hmm. What I'd like to see is a slight, small rule change that a player still under contract has to nominate at least two clubs.
Well, they do that for father-son. Well, you get preferences now.
No, you can You don't have to nominate, is what I'm saying. When it's a trade, you have to nominate two clubs.
I think it should be like federal voting, where you can pick your team preference. To nominate your preferences, or you can vote below the line and you like label every club 1 to 18.
If he has to nominate two, and then he says, I will agree to go to Hawthorn or, let's say, Carlton.
Yeah.
Then it gives GWS a place to negotiate. Now they've got skin in the game. They can do something.
Well, also, I mean, negotiating is also pairing two potential suitors against each other.
Yeah,
so exactly. You take the wind out of your sails for the team you're with.
It gets a little bit of power back in the home club.
Yeah,
in their side of the court.
And I still think negotiations should be live. Like, fuck this last 2 hours of trade where they had the live show. All negotiations should be live anyway. It should be live streamed on an app.
It'd be great. Poker.
Exactly right. Yeah,
right, I'll see your Tom Scully, and I'll raise you a pick 68. Yeah, I'm not feeling 68.
You could actually have what picks you've got in the draft secret. They could be like your whole cards.
We'll give you our fourth round.
Yeah. So the AFL doesn't actually say which picks have been traded or anything like that. It's just all secret, and then it comes out like cunts, they got one over me. They were bluffing.
Obviously, Hawthorn are thinking they could do a Jaeger Amira, turning him around because if they turn Scully around, that's a ridiculously good get.
It is, absolutely, if they turn him around. And Hawthorn's head of fitness has obviously gone up to Carlton as well. So he's the mastermind behind it all. But hopefully, he's been at Hawthorn for 15 years. So hopefully he's left a bit of knowledge behind.
Maybe he's just thinking, fuck him.
I mean, Hawthorn could pretty much afford to sit on him for 8 months, 9 months, 12 months.
My big prediction is he plays less than 5 games next year.
Yeah, yeah. And all back-ended, probably.
And which is what happened with Jaeger with his first year as well. I think he played 4.
Yeah.
But again, it's a gamble with a small stake and potential big payoff.
Yeah, and especially with Graham Wright and Clarkson at Hawthorn, they've earned the right to have these gambles. And you tend to remember their wins more than their losses.
Yeah.
Because, they tried Dale Garlett, who was a trouble player and, didn't work out. They tried Tyrone Vickery.
Yep.
Didn't work out.
But again, they gave up nothing for that. Like it's not one of those ones where you're like, you could have had Buddy Franklin, you picked up old mate Tambler. It was like, no, you could have had Buddy Franklin, but you gave away fuck all. It's
pretty much checking in big blind or calling in the small blind.
Yeah. Taylor Giray goes over to the Bulldogs. I think that's good for both because he fell out of favour this year.
Yeah.
He got out-muscled fair few times, but he's got a good kick. When he's on, so he'll be handy at the Bulldogs.
I just think he's a player that Hawthorn had plenty of.
Yeah, got two premierships, so you can't argue. There was a Hawthorn member's got an email from Jeff today, and he had absolutely glowing message about Taylor Dre.
He just gave him a good recommendation.
He said he walked the Kokoda Trail with him.
All right.
So he had a lot of good stuff to say about him.
So you're saying his back's fucked?
It was in 2009. So I think he's recovered by now. Okay. Trade number 23. Chad Wingard goes to Hawthorn.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. See, I don't know.
This is one that...
Out of all the trades, out of all of Trade Week, this is the one that I don't care who you are, nobody saw coming at the start.
No.
I mean, I saw it as a possibility, but I didn't see them giving up Ryan Burton
to
get him.
Fucking Burton.
Yeah. And that's...
21-year-old, runner-up in the Rising Star 2 years ago.
Yep.
The only thing that makes sense for me here is Burton obviously being an Adelaide boy. Maybe he's had a chat to Clarks at some stage saying, eventually I want to go back to Adelaide.
Well, his missus still lives in Adelaide.
Yeah. So, if she still lives in Adelaide, she's probably a bit of a tart.
She's like, no, don't come back. Shit.
Yeah, so maybe that's what happened. Maybe Burto caught her doing the dodgy.
Just keep sending checks.
At the Kent town. He's going, all right, fucking, I'm going back. But that's the only thing that makes sense. If they thought he's going to go back, and Port were doing that whole, Gold Coast better not take Leukosis whoever else it was, because we're going to try and get him back in 2 years' time. So maybe Port thought, Burton's thinking of going back one day. Fuck it, we'll make it now. We'll get Wingard out of it.
I mean, what it does show is that Hawthorn's willing to deal when it comes to trade week. Yeah. I mean, there's, other clubs that they like posturing, and I think they like the negotiation of it.
Yeah.
Hawthorn want the deal done.
Yeah.
He's going there, mate, here's what we've got.
Yep.
And now we'll go tell Ryan Burton about it.
Yeah.
But if this was, he's got 1 year left, on his contract?
No, two.
Two.
He re-signed mid-year, an extra couple.
Well, say this is 2020, and he's like, all right, I'm going to Adelaide or Port.
Yeah.
He's getting you get a third rounder for him.
Well, I hope not. I hope you get a first rounder for him. That was the idea.
If you get a fifth rounder for Mitchell, you're getting a third rounder for him. But,
You'd hope he's going to
improve. That's the only way this makes sense.
He's only 21.
And plus, he apparently found out while he's in Vegas, and then all of Port's medical staff are like, yeah, I'll fucking go over, because Hawthorn get billed for that.
He's like, casinos, even when you win, you still lose.
Because you get a first-class ticket to go over there, because their medical doctors have to be well-rested and prepared and whatnot. So it would have cost Hawthorn probably around 20 grand.
Yeah. Port paid on the way back, though. He's still on a boat.
That's just amazing, because they obviously invested so much in him, and
well, especially with the injuries that they had, he came through and was decent.
Well, they gambled. You know, I think he was pick 16 or something like that. Yeah. It's the highest pick we've had since Cyril Rioli.
Yeah,
and they gambled on it, but at end of the day, they got rid of him and pick 15 to send him back.
So his leg's probably completely fucked.
Well, it will be shortly. I'll tell you that. As soon as he gets back in the country. And Chad Wingard leaving Port Adelaide is astounding, because he was Port Adelaide.
Hasn't that deteriorated so quickly?
So quickly. Didn't all the rumours come out?
Yeah.
But it's like the second your back's turned, they start sniping. And Koshy. I know he's a bit of a cunt, but Jesus, fuck, he laid into Wingard.
I got to say, Jeff looks all right now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Suddenly he looks fucking sane. Eddie McGuire's looking like a level-headed bloke.
By all accounts, he was in the Australian team for the Irish game a couple of years ago when Clarkson was coaching, and Clarkson just loved him.
Right.
So if he's got that relationship with the coach, hopefully, if the off-field disengagement is true, hopefully it doesn't happen with somebody he highly respects.
How fucking bizarre is that, though? Like, you hear that, and Clarkson says he impressed me with his work ethic and with his commitment to the game and whatnot, and then you've got the Port Adelaide people saying he's fucking lazy, you know, in the preseason he couldn't be asked.
Say something.
It's like, someone's either full of shit or someone's being a cock.
Or, you know, neither party is 100% to blame.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm just shocked, because if you could pick any player in the Port Adelaide team last year that embodied what Port Adelaide is...
Yep.
Is Chad Wingard.
He's a dumb cunt, though. If he had have said this about 6 months ago, North would have offered $1.5 million.
But anyway, it's, I think, the most surprising trade of all of trade period.
Yeah.
Certainly from me. And I'm still not over it. As part of that, off the back of that deal, Sam Mays goes from the Lions to Port. I think it's a good pickup for Port.
Yep.
A bit of a depth player.
This is the start of pick number 6 doing the rounds.
Making its way.
The whore of the AFL.
Making its way back.
Yep.
Going from the Lions to Port, which one's got the worst culture? Because I think Brisbane are on the up harder than Port are.
Well, I'm not sure if Sam Mays, he might have been there. No, he wouldn't have been there when Vossie was coach. He might find a new coach next year as well.
Yeah.
I kind of hope so.
Trades 25 is just a swap of picks. Trade 26 is the big Lachie Neale deal.
Finally got done,
which is...
with number 6 involved.
The number 6. They did a tour of Australia.
Yeah.
Starting
from the west. It was like almost like the Indian Pacific. It just took a ride around.
It did city loop.
Yeah.
Got all the way back to Frio, and then it ended up at Brisbane.
Yeah. And good move from Frio. They played hardball and people weren't sure, but they got their deals done.
They did. They got a lot of deals done.
Maintain some draft picks.
With 6 hours to spare.
Yeah. Peter Bell. Who would have thought, eh?
He has turned into a... Well, it's easy to say... He's a lawyer, so that kind of goes without saying. He's a soulless life sucker. But he has been equal parts upfront and honest and devious and conniving.
He's certainly come in with a mandate to make an impression.
And a passion to do it, too. Yeah.
And what a sort of a way for Frio to start a new season is having someone at the front going, this is what we're doing, boys.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, having a leader there.
I'd love to see Ross Lyon and Peter Bell. Just because Ross Lyon...
Well, you want to keep those two people as far apart as possible.
Here's what we're going to do. Shut the fuck up, Ross.
Yeah.
I'll fucking fire your ass. I don't give a shit. You've got 8 years left.
You're lucky you're not fired now.
I'm going to break your kneecaps.
Yeah.
All I can reach, but that's all I'm going
to
do.
You hope you go to jail.
Honestly, even though Bell gives up about a foot, I still back him in.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And Lachie Neale adds a lot to Brisbane's midfield.
Yep.
That's already a good midfield.
Yeah.
But Jesus.
It's a shame they didn't keep hold of Beams, but, that's the way that
part of the carousel.
I still think it's a net upgrade. Like, as good as Beams is, I think Lachie Neale can be even better for longer.
I think Beams is better on his day.
Yeah, I'll take Beams on his day as well.
But his day was last season or the season before. Neale's day could be this season.
Yeah.
So I'm saying you're not paying him for what he's done, you're paying him for what he's going to do.
I still like Beams.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
One of the funniest negotiations. Like I said, when I said Hawthorn go in, want to do the deal. Fremantle, I think they want to play games. Yep. Does anyone remember on Saturday when they said they're out of the race for Jesse Hogan? Did anybody take that for serious?
No one did. No, no one did.
No one took it serious when they asked for picked 4, 5, and 6 for him as well.
Anyway, Jesse Hogan finally gets over there. I don't think it hurts Melbourne too much. He's a great player. If he's... I think every year we hear the Jesse Hogan going to back home deal.
Well, you hear another tragedy in Jesse Hogan's life every year. So, that too. Yeah. Jesus. Just,
poor fucker.
Fuck, I hope he goes there and, just, has some peace of mind and nothing bad happens. It's all good.
Whatever bad has happened in Fremantle.
Yeah.
I don't know. Never been there.
But it freed up Melbourne as well to get some big picks in, which got May in, which we'll talk about later on. Okay, Rory Lobb finally goes from GWS over to Frio. Good place for him to be because he won't be the number one ruckman you'd hope. Frio have got obviously one more year from Sandy, and they got the fridge and a couple of others there, young ruckman.
I think that's a good pairing though, with
which is obviously the reason for it.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Lobb, he's more mobile than Sandilands. Not as physical. But Sanders is a fucking monster.
He's a good mark, Lob, without a doubt.
So I think that works well. Where one is lacking, the other takes it up. I think that works really well for them.
Yeah. And Jesse Hogan covers a lot of ground.
Don't
worry about that.
And there's a few guys in the midfield that can play all right too.
Yeah. Now, Frio have been looking for a twin targets up forward, marking targets for since their inception, really. Cam McCarthy was never going to be that player.
No.
They were kidding themselves with what they had to pay for him. But now...
I still find that funny.
You had to sit a year out to get to Fremantle. Yeah. Obviously, you'd be like, there's not an IQ test, this dude, because...
We
might actually get a government rebate on this.
But anyway, Rory Lobb, I think he's going to be a champion player for him.
Well, he definitely showed moments of brilliance for GWS, especially towards the end of the season and a couple of finals games.
I mean, he was worse off when Patton went down and when he had to do a lot of the ruck work on his own.
Well, he was better around the ground than he was actually in centre bounces.
You want him down the line taking those big marks.
Yep.
More pick swaps there until Stephen May and Cade Collar-Jasny gets over to the Gold Coast. Collar Jasny, obviously the steak knives in that deal, but Stephen May is he adds a lot to Melbourne.
Yeah,
I don't think Collar Jasny's a very bad set of steak knives at all. I think he's a decent enough player. I don't know if he's going to be best 22 for Melbourne, but he'd be best 22 for about probably 14 teams.
See, that's why I'd say it's not really a big thing for Melbourne. If you're trading someone in, that's not going to be your best 22. It's steak knives.
But I do think you need 26 good players to have a good team, because if you've got a 22 that's good but no one's under pressure for their spot, I think you're going to struggle.
If you've traded out Dean Kent, Dom Tyson, why are you trading in Cade Collar-Jasny? How much of an upgrade is that on those guys?
Maybe it was just like, you have to take him because we don't want him.
It was, and somebody wants to come.
It's diversity.
Obviously, the big part is Stephen May, because that anchors their back line now. He'll play alongside Jake Lever when he comes back.
Yep.
But he'll take the monsters. But it also it means the McDonald brothers will have more stability about where they're playing.
Yeah.
It's such a I've got big raps on Stephen.
Yeah. And a great pick. And once Jordan Lewis gets suspended, you've got someone else to be the hard cut, knock someone out.
I think him and Stephen May might tag in and out.
They may actually fight each other in a game.
I can see them hiding a chair underneath one of the mats.
Homsch goes from Port Adelaide to the Gold Coast. One of your preferred players, isn't he, Brenton? Homsch down the back line for Port?
Oh, yeah, love him. What a champion.
No, not at all. No.
So I don't mind him. I think he works well for Gold Coast because...
he wants to be there?
Well, yeah, and he's one of those players that probably concedes fewer goals than anyone that they've got on their list.
I think he's just like a big fan of schoolies, wanting to get there on time.
Oh, fucking fair enough.
No, he came from Port, not Saints. Jackson Thurlow from Geelong going up to Sydney for bugger all. Yeah.
I mean, Jackson Thurlow, I think he's got some potential, but he needs to hit the weight room.
Yeah,
doesn't his brother play for Melbourne Storm or something?
No, but Sydney needed depth, and he is a depth player.
Yep.
Pick swaps there. Marcus Adams going from the Bulldogs up to the Brisbane Lions.
Yep.
I like Marcus Adams. Yeah, he's a great player.
I thought it was someone the Bulldogs needed.
He's a fucking unit.
They get a second round pick for him, but he must be desperate to leave because a few times I thought, you know what, if he can string 20 games together, he can be all Australian.
Yeah, yep.
Level. And you're right, massive unit.
Yeah. And what Brisbane need as well, they've got a good little young sort of close-knit group that have been playing good, finished season strong. Add someone like that in there who's big, probably willing to go up there. So,
really replaces Sauce Bottle Merritt, who retired a couple of years ago for him.
Yeah. Well, what the fuck is wrong with him? Because if you're giving up pick 75 for the bloke, like... oh, no, wait, I'm looking at the wrong column. Yeah. Fuck, I was going to say. No,
second round.
Yeah, pick 32.
Part of the big trade, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the draft and shuffle.
Yeah.
I'm still not... I'm still thinking that's a net loss for Bulldogs.
I think so.
But it's one of those ones where he's a player that's hard to replace because you don't get that many blokes who are
that big,
that massive, who can actually run in different directions.
I think if given their druthers, Bulldogs would have rather he stayed.
Yeah.
But you know, when they want to go, they want to go. Jordan Ruffhead goes over to Collingwood for fuck all. That's just another depth player for Collingwood.
Yep.
It's really saying they know they're in for a premiership.
So it's plan C, plan D.
He covers the next injuries.
He's just there to put his finger in Dykes.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be coaching the AFLW. go on.
Nah, I was just going to make a Malthouse joke.
All right. Travis Collier goes home to WA for a pick next year from Fremantle.
We're expecting a big draft next year with a future fourth round pick.
Again, it's just...
Yeah, going deep in the draft.
It's just another, future on pick. Yeah. One of the first trades that was muted, being Dylan Shield going to GWS... Happened in the last, with 10 minutes to spare.
10 minutes, yeah.
They got lodged. It finally got done. I was listening to the radio, and they were saying that Essendon caved. And what they were saying was, the negotiation was GWS wanted two first rounds all along.
Yeah.
And, Essendon didn't want that. They wanted a first and a second.
Yep.
And eventually they gave up two first rounds, but I don't know. I got a feeling that they were always prepared to give up two first rounds and just seeing what else they could do.
Well, I think it was the Carlton, also wingman for GWS, who came in there and went, Essendon's at the table. Fuck those cunts. we're making them pay whatever price they need to pay.
Good on them.
I fucking love that. Yeah. Carlton love throwing a lot of money at him.
I think Carlton knew they had no chance. They just loved to see Essendon bleed at the trade table.
Which one of the ones where it's like poker when you've got the free buy-ins?
Yeah.
Fucking all in on flop. Yeah. I don't give a shit. Oh, fuck.
It reminds me of draft day a few years ago with Jack Silvani, who's obviously nominated father son pick.
Yeah.
And I think Essendon had pick 56 and Carlton had pick 57, and Essendon went, Silvani.
Yeah. That's it. I don't think Carlton even looked at their cards at the table.
Yeah.
And they were just like, I'm all in. I haven't looked at my cards. Don't even know if I have this much money.
You haven't even bought in.
Yeah. You're the dealer.
That's just three buttons and a 20 cent piece.
I had a little bit of inside knowledge. I think I shared with one of you guys about Dylan Shield, because obviously one of the hotly contested free agent, or his, not free agents,
his
but
Mrs. quit her job and they sold his house.
No, there were St Kilda, Carlton, Hawthorne were all vying for Dylan Shield, and he eventually picked Essendon. A friend of a friend was on the plane that Carlton took up to Noosa with Dylan Shield, and said that they knew 5 minutes into the flight he'd already made his mind up.
Right,
he went on the flight just to up his price with Essendon. He was always going to Essendon. He was just playing the market.
Yep.
So,
I mean, Noosa's a lovely place.
I don't want to get a free ride.
Take the plane trip up there.
I mean, you've got to hang out with Mark Murphy for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, well, they fucked up. They flew Tiger, so.
It's a big get for Essendon.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
Yep.
And he adds inside muscle to that midfield that needs it because, Heppel's not going to be that inside player.
No.
Zach Merritt probably prefers the outside as well.
Yep.
Even though it was unlikely, I was hoping that Carlton would offer like $1.8 million per year.
I think they just about did. Just I think so they were close.
If he took it, it means Carlton can't bid on Josh Kelly next year.
Oh, they'll still be bidding, but I don't think that's a worry.
Yeah, yeah.
In the second last trade was Nick Newman went from Sydney to Carlton. I mean, that's just depth for depth.
Yep.
Yeah.
And finally, Dane Beams goes back to Collingwood for a couple of first round picks.
Yeah, yeah. I think obviously his brother being delisted at Brisbane probably might have played a big part of it.
His old man shuffling off this mortal.
Old man was permanently delisted.
Yeah.
Shuffling off the mortal coil.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, I like that he's been very frank this year. You know, he gave up the captaincy. He said, look, there's just too much going on. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then came back and played great footy.
Yeah.
Obviously, he'll get back to Collingwood. And, geez, I think you have a look at all the trades over the trade period. Collingwood have done well.
They've done very well. Yeah. They're definitely not going backwards.
I think it's the best midfield going around next year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on merit, it is for sure.
No, merit retired. But the big one for the Beams thing, though, is a week back he's saying, you know, why would I leave you guys? I love yous.
At the best and fairest function.
Yeah.
Granted,
yeah.
A lot of players leaving do put on a bit of an acting turn at best and fairest, but
I mean,
most of them are more home and away. He was Al Pacino. Well,
I believe him. I believed him.
He's a fucking... This bloke is going to be a fucking Oscar winner.
Yeah, well, you might get a Logie for it as well if it was televised. But, you know, maybe he changed his mind.
Well, I mean, he was high on ecstasy at the best of Paris. So I love you, Kent. I'm not going nowhere.
But, no, obviously, it was a bit of a funny move when he left Collingwood to go up to Brisbane.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think, you know, Brisbane got great service out of him, and they get two first-round selections.
Yep.
One this year, one next year, out of him leaving. So, with Lachie Neal coming in, it eases the pain a little bit.
Yeah.
But still, like we said right at the top, I'd take Beams over
Lachie,
but two first rounders, you can't argue.
Also, Collingwood's re-signings, like, they've done very well. They've kept players that were being poached with big money, and they've managed to sign players which they needed.
Yeah, they didn't lose much this trade period, Collingwood, did they?
No.
Well, first rounders, but...
They lost picks, but, you know.
Yeah. Then they're looking for, you know, short-term success. They're looking for building. That's what they're
One goal off the, you know, a premiership this year. Yep. So you don't need to improve much.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dane Beams is...
As Freo said, just need to tweak a few things.
Well, Dane Beams is a one goal better for that team by far.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, who's your big winner out of this period?
I'm going to say... it's hard until you line them all up.
Yep.
But, you know, Collingwood didn't lose anything. Except picks.
Yeah.
And they've got Dane Beams, which is a great pickup. So, I mean, that's not bad.
Well, I can tell you the flavour at the moment is they reckon Hawthorn's won. Bringing in Wingard, Scully and Scrimshaw and only losing Burton and Dreyer. I don't agree with that either.
No. Because Scully's a big question mark.
Yeah.
And Scrimshaw, I mean, who? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, on Dreyer. And Burton, I mean, I don't like going to Facebook pages or team pages, but... To say he was loved by the Hawthorn fans is an understatement.
Yeah.
Freo, losing Hogan... gaining Hogan, Lobb, Conker and Collier.
I mean...
And losing Neal.
They've filled up their main issue has been up forward, and they've filled that need. However, they don't have as many gun midfielders as they think they do.
Yeah.
And Fife, you know, when he's on the park, is great, but he's been injured a lot in the last couple of years. I remember Jason Akamanis once saying, you can never have too many great midfielders. And Lachie Neal was a great midfielder, and they lost him.
Yeah. Richmond get Lynch, but they lost Conker, Miles, Lloyd, and Stengel.
Lost depth. They lost a lot of depth. So,
I still think it's a net loss. I don't agree with having a fragile best 22.
Yeah.
Like we've said before, it's your average player that makes you win games.
Well, I think their best 22 is still intact, you know, and he adds to it. But a marking forward wasn't really what they were lacking.
No.
And they've had a dream run with injuries the last couple of years. You're really gambling to say you're going to have that dream run again for a third.
See, if I was playing a super coach with the Richmond side, I'm thinking, all right, who are they missing? They're missing a monster. So I would have chased someone like Proust if I was them.
A second ruckman, for sure they're missing one of those. Or a first ruckman.
That too. Having a good forward is always brilliant.
Yeah,
but if they're sitting there or they're running the same lanes as the other forward, it's kind of a waste.
Well, he's going to take a little while until he gets used to, you know, having Jack next to him. But you know,
and vice versa too.
That's what the preseason's for.
I mean, Jack's used to making his own leads and whatnot.
Yeah.
But if they're both going for the same ball, Lynch is going to get it. He's a bigger unit and with a bigger leap.
Yeah, but like you like to say, iron sharpens iron.
This is true. I've never said that, but yeah.
He's only 25, and they've got him for 7 years, so he's going to be there, you know, years after Riewoldt retires. So, I mean, it's a good pickup, but it's still, you don't want too many injuries.
Well, and the other winner they're talking about is North, losing Preuss and Ryan Clark, which, you know, you wouldn't recognise Ryan Clark in a...
No.
In a thing, but picking up Polek...
Preuss didn't play a game this year, so yeah. Obviously that's how North rate him.
Picking up Polek, which already is a plus, but also Pittard, Hall and Tyson. Again, probably thinking half of those guys have got depth,
yeah.
But the guys that gave up were depth, yep. So...
Yeah, exactly.
Net plus. It's
not too much lost.
But in talking about people that fucked it, got to say Gold Coast. They lose Lynch, they lose May, Collegiazni, Hall and Scrimshaw, and pick up Miles, Ellis, Homsch and Holland Smith.
It looks like Gold Coast year one, and that's what it is again. It's year one yeah. again. They pick yeah. up a bunch of future picks as well.
Well, actually, those are the players they lost, but they did pick yeah. up a shit ton of picks.
A shit ton of picks yep. this year. I think they got, what, 2, 3 and 6 or 2, 3 yeah. and something like that.
Yep. So there's a bunch of very fucking nervous 17-year-olds right now.
Plus next year's number one pick. Yeah, well, it's going to happen.
Well, they are holding interviews at schoolies there, so.
Well, yeah.
You see the Gold Coast tent on Broadbeach.
But then GWS didn't get any players in.
Well, they couldn't afford any.
Yeah.
But gave up Shield, Scully, Satterfield and Lobb.
Yeah, that's a big loss.
It's not as bad as it could have been, but it's still pretty fucking bad. They kept Finlayson, which I actually, I don't mind him as a player. I think he's pretty decent.
I think he's all right for a first year. But yeah, obviously everyone knew what their salary cap situation was and they cleared
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't have any more gaps, surely.
Yeah, well, they pretty much went to the poker table with mirrored aviators on. So everyone could see all their cards.
But, the biggest trade I saw was the AFL picked up Damien Barrett.
Did they?
Yeah, he's directly employed by the AFL now, so there's no getting rid of him.
Right, okay. Right.
Yeah, so I don't know whether that's probably, is that a win for Channel 7 or Channel 9?
You're going to say work for Channel 9, yeah.
Probably, it's still a win for Channel 7 too, though.
Well, I don't think the footy show is going to go around again next year.
Well, let's hope not.
I don't get it. I think it's just, it means... He spent half his time working on AFL.com.au anyway, so
yeah.
I think now he spends all
the time. You say half his time, it was only 3.5 minutes on Sliding Doors, but...
he hosted a lot of their TV shows as well.
Yeah. One thing I just remembered, with the Scully deal, I checked into it. If he doesn't play a game through injury,
right,
then GWS have to foot his bill.
Right, so they pay his bill until he plays?
I don't know if it's until he plays, or whether if he misses the whole season, then... GWS have to, or if he retires without playing a game or something, GWS have to pay.
Right. Yeah, I did see some caveat like that.
Yeah. So you don't trade a bloke who's fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they call it the Gumbleton rule.
All right. That'll do us for Trade Week. I think we'll be back next week to see what else is going on in the world of sport and find out the fallout of more delistings and re-signings.
And then we'll pretend we know about the draft players.
Yeah.
Bye.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.